That's it, huh? I'm just on.
You're on.
Let's see, round two, I'm talking to you.
All of us.
All of you.
You're talking to David and Justin.
Right. So, last time I talked, we were highlighting the verse, receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. And we talked quite a lot about that. Let me look at my time.
Tons of time.
I think I'll be okay.
If you look at Don, he goes, and you'll not quit it.
Or if he goes,
time doesn't exist.
I'm just going to recap just real briefly because what I'm going to talk about today was one part of that. So I'm just pulling it out and just talking about that and kind of capping it off. But today I'll go through the scriptures and we'll highlight just real quick Matthew 22. We're going to hang out in Genesis 1 a little bit, and then we will skip through a little bit of, at the very end, Matthew 11. But so just as a refresher reminder, receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. And I had made the statement, when you receive a gifting or a person and esteem them to the level that God does, it opens a capacity in you to receive favor.
Right.
So, and then I had highlighted that word receive, that there were two parts to it. It was the word dekamai. And so the first part of that word meant to embrace it and to make it your own. And it was a self-prompted, like taking, like receiving a gift. Like if I said, I have a $5 gift.
That
for
shows
somebody.
Hunger. That shows desire.
I have a $5 gift for somebody.
This is me desiring a gift. Oh. Look at this. Everybody else in
we'll
my
try head. It again.
Oh.
Hold on. So
profiling
the one
right there.
Part of this word to receive, it's proactive. It's not having something laid in your lap. I said, like Dion's birthday, here's a gift, I put it in your lap. It's seeing I have a gift and you go and you get it. And you, like, you're going out of your way to, so I have a
$5.
Oh! Gift. She is fake of mine.
I was denied.
I knew he would know exactly what I was saying. And I totally thought Justin or Adam would
run over here.
Yes, and trample the ladies and Willie. I was like, oh, who knows what will happen. But that's the kind of receiving. When you are valuing the favor and the person, and like when you receive them like that and you're leaning into them, you're opening up this capacity to to the things that they're bringing, their gifts, their abilities, their insight, their wisdom, you get to make it your own. And then the other part of that was the strength of how you do that. Oh, that's nice. Yes, that's amazing. You know, and we use the verse, he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully reaps bountifully.
Right.
So those two things of you're going out of your way to take, you know, to receive, and that you're doing it with this strength that matches your level of value for that. So, and I made the statement of how you receive determines what you receive. So how you do that.
Part of that would be hunger.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Hunger is really different than desirous, I think.
So, and that's an interesting thing. I've heard, maybe it was Bill Johnson, and he's talked about, but I'll just use Danny. If we're sitting here watching TV and I say to Danny, are you hungry? And he goes, yeah, I'm hungry. And so there's a difference of, is he really hungry? Are you going to get up and go in the kitchen and fix your stuff? Because I'm hungry. Versus, you know, either, are you fixing? Yeah, I'll just have a little bit of what you're having, you know, and then I go fix it and I bring it to him. And So there's even a different like level of that kind of hunger, that this word is talking about. So so the two things, you know, you can do this intentionally. I thought if I valued somebody who's super creative, and maybe I don't feel very creative, but maybe I want to be more creative.
Right.
The more I hang out with them, the more I talk with them, the more I ask questions, the more I get answers, like I become more creative. It grows and grows and grows. It's a spiritual principle, like gravity is a physical principle. I don't care what you think about it, it's going to impact your life. This is a spiritual principle that when you're receiving, when you're you know, esteeming like that, it's going to start to grow in your life. And but this also is like when you just cultivate this kind of culture, and we're going to talk specifically about honor today, it is just like this natural effect in your life. And I was thinking, about a month ago, we had our friend from Idaho, Randy Rhodes. He came, he had just, we had run into him, and he had said, hey, I'm going to be through your area with a ministry student. Do you want, you know, us to stop by? And we're like, yes, we would love that. And it wasn't anything that we were seeking or going after or requesting or anything, but we joined his presence. So he came, and some of you were able to join us for the night, and you know, we had dinner and we shared and we testimonies and history of what God has done and where he was taking us, and worship, and we shared the word, and it was amazing. And so like this thing that's bubbling up inside of them, because we were just like, our culture would be like, yeah, come on, you know, we would love to. So, you know, we get to benefit from that. We're gleaning from that. And it has very little to do with, I'm probably jumping ahead of my notes here, but very little to do with, do I agree with everything you say? Do you believe exactly the way I do? It has very little to do with that. But it is valuing the person and what they carry.
Right.
And making a place for that.
Good
and,
word. That's good.
So I'll say it again. When our spirit and our soul line up to esteem a person to the degree that God does, mm-hmm. Hi, Mark, then we're able to receive. My recap was that honor was one of the things that I highlighted and didn't talk much about, that actually empowers this ability to esteem. So I said, when you value something as high as God, the thing that elevates you to be able to do that, empowers you, is this thing of honor. So I just want to talk a little bit about that today. I defined honor as valuing a person to the level that God does, being able to see them from the same perspective that God does. And so honor, I would say, has two sides of the same coin. One coin. But this first side is that this honor, it's based on who you are. And, you know, the word calls us kings and priests. And it's revealing this royalty and this nobility that you carry. Like when you're following him, he's put this kind of identity in you. And it allows you, I love this statement. I think I heard it from Bill Johnson. It's this position of this high royalty and nobility that serves with the heart of a king and rules with the heart of a servant. Mm-hmm. And that's just been like a really great perspective for me as I have, you know, you go and move and live and have your being in all the environments that you take away. So it's a reflection. Honor is expressed as a reflection of who we are. Like I am royalty, I am nobility. And I was thinking, I had this encounter with a coworker, it was a couple of months ago or more. And they were in my office and they were tearful and they were agitated and upset and they were just like really upset. And they worked in a totally different area, but they had been, I don't know, disregarded, disrespected, just kind of brushed aside, put in their place, just making sure you know that you're not, you know, all that, and we are so much bigger. And they were really upset. And then she starts tumbling into, and so, you know what, I'm going to, you know, next time they ask for something, I'm just going to walk away. And next time that, you know, they tell me, I'm just going to make sure they know that they're, so it was like this tit for tat. And I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, how can I insert kingdom and truth that calls her into her true identity, whether or not she knows you, like you've made this identity. So what can I do to remind her of that without it being, you know, preachy and, you know, all of that? And this dropped into my mind. And I said to her, you know, I think how you respond to them ought to be a reflection of who you are. And, you know, it stopped her and she just looked at me. Like, and she was silent. And I said, you know, there is, and I just described, you know, some of the identity that we would say, you know, is inside of, in us. And I said, that is who you are. You know you're not less than. You know you're valuable. You know, like, this is, you know, how you're created. And I think that when you respond to people, this is, that you respond out of that, not based on what they did. Based on who they are, based on who you are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, I could tell she was just really listening to that. And Jesus says a similar thing in Matthew 22, verse 37. You guys all know this. Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, mm-hmm. and with all your mind. That's the first commandment, the great commandment. And the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor
as yourself.
And so it is, again, this healthy reflection on, I know who I am, and I'm going to respond to people based on that, regardless of what you do or don't do. I'm like, that's going to be the thing that leads me. So that's one side of this coin of honor, of valuing them to the level that God does. The other side of that is based on who they are.
Right.
So, because everything you would believe about yourself, that's actually in every single person. And so I just, I started looking again back at the very beginning where, you know, we'll talk about our original blueprint.
Yeah.
Right? We'll read that in the Mirror Bible quite a lot, our original blueprint. And so anyway, Genesis 1, verse 6, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over, and then we can just fill in the blank, the verse, fish and, you know, birds and cattle and, but, you know, so he's establishing an identity of, you're made in my image and in my likeness, and it's for the purpose of having dominion. Not that thumb under rulership, but that ruling with the heart of a servant, right? Commander.
Right.
So I started looking at those two words, image, made in our image, made in our likeness. And they are two separate words, though, but they are very similar and interchangeable. And this is what I pulled out, though, the distinction before them. The word image is the Hebrew word Salem, and it means like a representative figure. And I just had the picture. It's like if you had a business, maybe you have a business, and I'm going to expand. So Shelley has a business, McCall Street, and she is so successful, she's going to open up a location in Lancaster.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, prophetic words.
Yeah, come on. You receive it, right? Come on.
And she
says,
has an investor.
Yeah. Yes. And she has an
come
investor.
Come on, true.
A rich one.
Right. Ooh, we can make great decorations.
We prophesy rich rents.
And she's not moving to Lancaster. She's gonna send Lisey and Adam. And they're moving to Lancaster.
Oh, you're out of here, bye.
Okay.
Wow, paradise.
And they relocate, and they're McCall Street, but Shelley has like released them. They are the representative figure. They are able to open up McCall Street. They are able to bake the goods, to make the sales, to take the profit, to make the decisions. I'm gonna do this, this works better. Like, they have the authority,
right,
and the ability to conduct business just as if I'm Shelley.
Okay.
That's what that word means.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. God says, you're made like that.
Is that that same word as ambassador in the New Testament?
I don't know. You look that
nice. You're an ambassador.
So this is based on who I am.
Cool.
And I'm sorry. I was saying this is based on who they are. Obviously, this is who you are as well. But when you're looking with God's perspective, you have to recognize that He created every single person in this image. You are my, like an ambassador, you're my representative figure that I put me in you, and now you go and with this authority and capability. The other word, likeness, it's demuth. I probably said that wrong, but it means to resemble in manner. A similar model. It's a word that indicates, like, if you were gonna, you've seen, you know, if you're gonna build a building, a huge, you know, complex or something, they'll make a representative, a similar model. They will, and they'll make it to scale, and it's intricate, and it's detailed, and it has every single part and piece to it. But it's right here on my table, so everybody can see it. That's what that word is, likeness. So we are made,
exactly.
You can tell that to your friend. We are made in this likeness. It's like this exact replication of who God is. So when you are, you know, seeing people around you, you're interacting, maybe they're strangers, maybe they're coworkers, maybe they're family that is irritating.
What?
Maybe, you know,
I don't know that
this is how God views them from the very beginning in the garden. I just made a new word.
Like
garden. Adam, I think you should use
word.
It in your writings.
The garden.
I got that.
In the beginning, in the garden.
In the garden.
That's word.
That God created every single person, right? He said He knew us before we are ever born. So all of humanity, this is His perspective. This is His high watermark of who they are. And it's this complete reflection of Him. So you can picture from the president, who we would just automatically, you know, say, whoo, high honor and value and, you know, listen, to the prostitute, who it might be just the opposite. You know, you might come up with lots of reasons, like, and everything in between. This is how we are to view them, with
right.
this high watermark, with this high value that, oh my goodness, you were made, you represent, you look just like Him. So we respond, honor is based on who we are, that nobility, that royalty, and who they are in the likeness and image of God. And this applies to everyone, of course, not just our friends, not just the people who like us or who are like us. We respond out of this level of awareness. There's no competition in this kind of a community. You're not concerned that, oh, John's going to get more than me. You know, what about me? And we've talked a little bit about, you know, the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, and how they're in this, you know, it's all one, but there's this three distinct, you know, parts, and it's this dance that they do that's amazing. The Father, you know, He's establishing the Son, and this is a good Father, right? You're establishing the Son and lifting Him up even higher than me. And you have Jesus, and He's running around like, let me reveal the Father to you. Oh no, He's like this. No, this is what He's, oh, He is so good. So Jesus is doing that, and he's elevating the Father. You have Holy Spirit who is, you know, come alongside of you, and it's like, let me explain Jesus to you. You know, he's amazing. He makes all the difference. And so you have this, it's like this dance that goes on, and none of it is, you know, well, what about me, you know, or anything like that. And so no competition. I was thinking, oh gosh, it's been a number of years ago now. We have a print in that room done by James Coleman, is the artist. And we were having something repaired. And so we had heard that, oh, he's gonna be in Arrowhead. And so we're like, let's go, we're gonna take it. And we get to meet James Coleman. He's the artist who did this. And so, and then while we were there, we bought that print as well. It's called Summer's Bloom. I love it. But so here's the amazing thing. You have this artist. So we're in Lake Arrowhead. There's a lot of people. Everyone is gathering. It's in an art gallery. Everyone's looking and, you know, oohing and aahing, and you get to meet him. And never once is James Coleman thinking, acting or responding or anything, that while people come up and talk to him, everybody is out looking at his art. Everybody is, ooh, I want, how much can I buy? And they're just like reveling. And he's not like, well, I'm the one who did that. I mean, you know, right? I did that. He's not one ounce. This is like Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that the artist is so captivated that his art would be the masterpiece. And we're called his masterpiece, right? In the New Testament, that we are his workmanship. So there's never this competition, and you glory in the fact that somebody else is receiving attention or promotion or goodness or any of that.
I was thinking, he enjoys your enjoyment.
Yes, he enjoys your enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And a total side note, but it just immediately makes me think of some of these miracles that we hear of that are bizarre, like gold teeth or gold dust, or, you know, and it disparages a lot, but he enjoys our enjoyment of his presence. And anyway, so when we see people with bad choices, bad behavior, ego, pride, wrong motives, none of those things change God's perspective of them.
Right.
He has this high water view of, this is who I have created these people to be. And I think that's amazing. And when I first started hearing this and studying it and learning it, it was so life-changing, because I would be just the opposite. I would be like, you really messed with me. And, you know, I'm just like, I'm not gonna receive from you, and you have nothing to offer me. And it's just not God's heart. And it's been really transformational for me to begin to look at, it's always easy, like with you guys, you're our best close friends, and we all love being together, but you get a little bit outside of this, and even believers, it just feels different. And so it doesn't change God's perspective. The best place that I have seen this in operation, honestly, is Bethel. And I know I've said, you know, I know we've got colored glasses, you know, when we look at them, because they're not perfect, and they make lots of mistakes, and they get it wrong, and they figure it out and try again. And so not perfect by any means, but, you know, we've told you, like, our first visit there, and we're sitting in their coffee shop, tons of people around, and people would come up to us and it's like, hey, I don't know you. You know, and then they'd find out, oh, you drove 10 hours to come. And their response is like, wow, that's amazing. Your hunger, that is beautiful. The courage that you have to walk into this strange. And they're just like, they just shower this on you. They celebrate each other. they cheer for, if someone shares a testimony, and she was walking and the brace was off and then the pain was gone and she's like, it's all gone. They're like practically on their feet. They're like, yes, because they know they've been trained that how I receive dictates what I receive. So when a testimony is shared and their strength is going after with, yes, that's amazing, and declaring the glory of God, they know that they're actually imparting that exact same thing to themselves. And, you know, in an environment like Bethel, I've never once heard them, any of their leaders, and obviously there's levels of maturity, so it's not going to be like this all the way through, but any of their leaders, like, they would never say anything negative about another person or another ministry.
Yep.
Or they will invite people that are not in their stream, and that I might say, wow, they're really legalistic. You know, ooh, they're very controlling. They would never see that because they are training themselves to, remember last time we talked about, we look at the gold, not the dirt. So they're training themselves to say, this person has an unusual ability to open the word and to drill down on, this is what this means and it connects to this and da 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 da. So while there could be plenty of dirt, like I imagine we all have a bit of dirt around us, they don't look at that. They celebrate. This is like the amazing thing inside of them. And I will never be the same again. It is so simple now to live that way.
Right.
And
right.
And it's so freeing, and it releases so much into your life. So I've made the statement, honor is celebrating who a person is without stumbling over who they're not. And, you know, Jesus did this before we even knew anything, right? He saw our value and how his Father had created us, and he paid the highest price. You know something that's valuable because, you know, you're not going to pay 50 cents for something that's super valuable. No, you're going to pay a lot of money. Jesus paid the highest price for you, all of us. And it... and with his disciples, right? They're a group of loud-mouthed, prideful, rough men, you know, that make messes everywhere. They make messes everywhere. And Jesus is comfortable with messes. Like, that doesn't stop him. He knows they're going to make a mistake. He knows they're going to make messes. He knows their true identity, and he was totally happy to let them work that out, clean up your mess, because he knows this is the pathway to maturity. And so he is our example. So here is, and I'm going to close with this. The one, I'm sure there's lots, but the one thing I see as a huge obstacle to living like this is this thing of offense.
Right.
We get offended. We get hurt. We get belittled, we get betrayed, we get lied to, the list just goes on. And they're real things, like it really has impacted our life, and it has contradicted what we would believe about ourselves. I believe I'm this. And then your leader says, you know, oh, you just need to take a notch down. Like, I'm the leader, and you need to come under me. And so it goes crosswise with, no, I believe this about myself. And so we have this disparity within us. Things that we take offense over, a person's age. Mm-hmm. You ever heard somebody go, you know, oh, you're just a baby. You know, I'm 15 years older than you. That is a way for people to put you down so they feel better, or that they can disqualify what you're saying.
Right.
That's a pet peeve of mine, actually. oh, you're just a baby. Like, I just, I that particular one.
I heard that a lot when I was first saved.
Many people do. Wait, just wait till you have a little bit of life. You know, wait till you encounter some things and then you'll know. We get offended over somebody gets a breakthrough that I've been wanting,
right?
But I've been praying for this. I've been going after this. And that person just got that breakthrough. We get offended over that people have, you know, they, like, there's, oh my God.
Is that possible?
He's going to do it. That was a baby for anyone listening on the recording. Anyway, these things that we get offended over. Sometimes it's like beliefs or religiosity. You know, people who are like they love God, but they are so motivated by form and performance and function and title and I. And,
knowledge.
Yes, knowledge. And all of those things are beautiful, but they can also be used to like try to put people in their place. And so we dismiss those people. They're puffed up by their own knowledge. They're puffed up by their own position and authority. And so we're like, you know what? I've got nothing. So this thing of offense keeps us from being able to receive the gold that they have to offer. Okay, so I'll just make this one statement because I think it's a whole nother sermon teaching, but people can choose to behave their way out of connection and out of relationship with you.
Say that again.
People can choose to behave their way. They do hurt me. They do betray me. They do lie to me. People can choose to behave their way out of connection and relationship.
Right.
With me. That isn't a bad thing. That's being able to put up healthy boundaries. If you want to know more about that, Danny Sulp wrote a whole book on it called Keep Your Love On. Oh, we're gonna do that with the ladies. We're gonna do the book Keep Your Love On. Or the series, or we're going to talk about that, about this whole topic. So anyway, that's a whole nother thing, because you always, you know, you just hear people say all the time, what about? This last thing I just want to highlight. In Matthew 11, verse 3, it's John is in prison. John the Baptist is in prison. And he sends a couple of his disciples to Jesus, and he says, these guys say, hey, John's asking, John the Baptist, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Which is, to me, a strange statement, because this is John the Baptist, your cousin, your the one who baptized you, who, you know, sees the Spirit of God descend, the one who says, he's the guy, this is the man, follow him. Now John the Baptist is saying, are you the one, or should we look for another? And Jesus' answer is even, you know, like half, most of the time Jesus never answers the question. But he says to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And he finishes with, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. I think that is stunning. It's stunning for me. And, you know, it was just a little bit before, like I said, John the Baptist has baptized, Spirit of God. You know, this is the man, follow him. Jesus goes into the wilderness. He comes back from the wilderness, and Luke records it best in Luke 4, verse 18. Jesus comes out of the wilderness. He's in the synagogue. He opens the scrolls, and he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, It's your verse, I know. And recover sight to the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So John the Baptist
is offended.
He has heard all of this. And he's like, this is the guy. And now he finds himself in prison. He's a captive. He's the one that's in danger. He's the one who's brokenhearted. You're my family, for heaven's sake.
Why don't you get me out of here?
Why don't you get me out of here? And
where are you?
Jesus's response is, blessed is he who's not offended over me. So Jesus, he doesn't make excuses. He doesn't back up and go, oh, you're right, let's change the plan. He sticks to his plan. He's not afraid to let us be uncomfortable or to wrestle around with our feelings. Jesus is zeroed in on his identity and his high calling. His calling is the salvation of the world. And he knows that in order for that to happen, we have to see people through the lens that God sees them. We cannot be offended. We can't stumble over somebody's age, or they're so religious, or they're very controlling, or they're so prideful. We can't stumble over those things because it gets in the way of us being able to see them the way God does. And I heard this testimony of this, I think she was a ministry student at Bethel. She said, you know, they live in a very prophetic environment that is, you know, just the encouragement and the, you know, speaking identity. And she would go around and she would say, can I get Adolf's prophetic word? You know, someone, and Angie just got a prophetic word, and Willie just got, and David just got a prophetic word. Can I get those? And people started asking, like, why are you, are you doing something weird? Like, why are you gathering other people's prophetic words? And she said, oh, no, no. She said, I like to be able to get to know the person the way God sees them. Not my experience. Not what I see on the face of it. Here's this download somebody got, and God is saying, oh, you're like this, and I made you to be here, and I, you know, created this in you, and you're called, and this whole identity. I want to know them based on that lens, not on anything else. And I thought that was amazing. And anyway, so this is just this culture of honor. It is to me the not the single, but a significant way, you know, I was calling this position yourself for increase. Name your thing. What position yourself for increase. Being and this whole, so last time and this time, this whole thing, this honor is the thing that empowers your ability to do that. And so I just want to pray, and yes, we will receive. There you go. There you go. And I just invite Holy Spirit to come. I just ask Holy Spirit to just begin to permeate our minds and deep into our souls, because there are things in us that maybe we have elevated. Things in us about other people and how we interact with them, how they are in our lives, that and it has caused static, and it gets in our way, and we are not operating fully with kingdom currency. And so Holy Spirit, just permeate our souls and bring those things to mind. And just as they're coming, I just like, you know, put them on the palm of your hand and just offer it to him. Let him take it away. And in this next week, God is going to just start revealing anything that is blocking your ability to function at his high level mark of goodness. And you will just be able to quickly just offload that. He says his burden is light, his yoke is easy. And so, God, we just receive that. and I just release a measure, a big measure of grace to be able to walk in honor, to see people as you do, to not stumble over what is lacking, and to be able to call forth the goodness that's in them. And also receive the strength to walk in wisdom, so we're not a doormat and we're not getting rolled over and steamrolled. In Jesus' name.
Have a testimony.